Now, it's a privilege to be here with you ladies. I want to thank Karen Kyle and her women's leadership team for the invitation. And we have just been, I can speak for all of us that are here as guests, that we have just been saturated with such love and service. It's really been beautiful. I want to thank you for that. Well, I don't have any cute little grandchildren stories because I don't have any grandchildren. Instead, I have teens. How many have teens? So, a story I could share with you is the night before leaving, I was stressed out and overwhelmed and questioning my study, and my 18-year-old daughter Amy and my 13-year-old daughter Amanda were in the kitchen, and I started telling them, I don't know. And this is what my 18-year-old had to say. She said, Mom, you're going to do great, and even if you don't, there's other women they're going to hear, so don't worry about it. So I'm so thankful that Janice and Debbie are going to follow me up here. You know, when I learned about the theme of this conference, I was very excited about it and to share about springtimes. And so, of course, I began to reflect over my own life and try and remember seasons of spring. And it is easy to forget, isn't it? Just things in our life. And so I went up to my loft, and I have a bunch of journals. I have actually 20 plus years worth of journals that I had. And so I got them out and I just started reading through and just remembering. And it was just amazing. For me, I started journaling in 1984. It was right out of high school when I went away to Calvary Chapel Bible College. It was my first experience with Calvary Chapel. And what's really special, and Sharon doesn't know this, but Sharon Reese came up to share that year, and she was actually the very first Calvary Chapel pastor's wife I'd ever heard teach. So it was truly a blessing for me. But I've penned my journey with the Lord and life's experiences, the highs and the lows and the petitions and the praises, and it truly has been an adventure. But I came upon a journal entry from the year 2002, and up to this point in my life, I would say 2002 has been the hardest winter that I've ever gone through. And it was words from a book I had been reading of Amy Carmichael, and I just want to open with this. She says, "When will the spring come? When will your bush be green with leaves again? When will the little birds you love come back to you? I do not know. I only know that sun and snow are working together for good. And the day will come when the very memory of helplessness to help and barrenness and poverty and loneliness will pass as a dream of the night. And all that seemed lost will be restored. Now, in the multitude of the sorrows that you have in your heart, let these comforts refresh your soul. They will not fail, for he will not fail. For he is the God of the sun and the snow." So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you that you are unchanging. Lord, we thank you for the different seasons in our lives. And Lord, we are so thankful that we have you. Lord, for without you, there is no hope. Lord, we just rejoice in the abundant life that we find in you. And Lord, I just pray for just your spirit to move in our time in the Word. May it just enrich our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's an interesting phenomenon that happens right before springtime. The symptoms are restlessness and longing. We have difficulty concentrating, and there's just this anticipation for change. It affects both the young and the old alike, and we all know what it is. Spring fever, that's right. It's been said, once you've got it, you want. Oh, you don't quite know what it is you want, but it just makes your heart ache. You want it so. Well, why do we want it so? I think the first reason is because the sun comes out and the temperatures begin to rise. It warms up. We get excited because we get to turn our clocks back, and it's daylight savings time. The animals emerge from hibernation, and we emerge from our homes. It's like, oh, you're my neighbor. Instead of waking up to your alarm clock, you're waking up to your neighbor's lawnmower. But for some reason in spring, it's a great sound. People are motivated to exercise, to take on house projects. There's just this renewed energy and attitude. In fact, scientists have proved that our brain has a chemical reaction to light and warmth and to the different scents that occur in the season of spring. Just as decreased sunlight can put people into depression during the winter, the increased sunlight leads to more release of serotonin, which makes us happier, more fun to be around, more sociable, and for some reason, love is in the air in springtime. We find ourselves singing that the sun will come up tomorrow. Well, it is interesting that we find a correlation with the spring seasons of our soul. You see, to me, it's kind of like a time of increased sunlight. And of course, I'm not speaking of the physical sunlight, but of the Son of God. It's a time in our lives when the clouds just seem to part and we can see clearly. There's this sense of His warmth and His presence. When we sit down for devotions, the Word just speaks louder. You know, my husband and I, we a lot of times when we have a date day, we like to share our journals from just the week's devotion or the month's devotion. We don't do it on a weekly basis anymore. But it's interesting that we can tell the season that we're in by how we respond when it's time to share. You know, there's sometimes, man, I have so much to share and I'm so excited. And then there's other times it's like, you know, I'm in the Word, but really, you know, do you understand and identify with that? Yeah. So when it's springtime, it just, the Word just comes off the page. It reminds me of Numbers 6:24 that speaks of how the Lord's face shines upon us and how the Lord lifts up His countenance upon us and gives us peace. Basically, it's kind of a picture of that He's smiling down upon us. And that is just grace. It's all grace. And that to me is what springtime is, grace. Another characteristic of nature's spring is the rain showers. Now, we don't get too much of that in California, but years ago, Rob and I, we moved to Salem, Oregon, and we had two little kids, and I remember the day that we drove up to our little rental house. It was raining, and what was very interesting to observe was that no one noticed. The kids were just outside playing like nothing was going on. You do not see umbrellas in Oregon. You know, they're used to the rain. Now, that's not what I'm talking about here. That's just rain, rainstorm. I'm talking about rain showers. And I experienced those in Hawaii. And rain showers are really cool because it's like, you know, the sun's out, it's warm, everything's wonderful. And then all of a sudden, it would just rain out of nowhere. But then it would go away, and you'd go back about what you're doing. And it's just, to me, rain showers, it's refreshment. It just smells so clean. It just feels so good when those rain showers come. Well, the Lord showers us with grace and His presence. Acts 3:19 says that His presence brings times of refreshment. And we need those showers, don't we, ladies? I believe that's why you're here today. Just a time to say, oh, Lord, I need refreshment. I need a renewal. I need Your energy in Your life to come upon me because life is full and there are so many challenges and it just drains on us. So we need those times of refreshing in His presence. And I pray that you experience that today. New enthusiasm, new energy for life, for ministry, for your families. A little side note, when you are in the season of spring, enjoy it. It's really interesting to me that we struggle with this, and I think for two reasons. One is sometimes guilt, because usually when we're in our spring, we have a friend who's in a winter, right? And so we kind of, you know, we're doing great, life is good, we're experiencing blessing. But we have our sister or people around us suffering in the body of Christ. And so we tend to feel guilty about it. So when they ask you, how are you doing after they've just shared for 15 minutes and they're weeping about what they're going through, well, how are you? I'm good, you know? So we struggle to really enjoy those spring times in our life. And I find that sad. We need to enjoy the spring because we know winter's going to come. Summer's going to come. Fall's going to come. The seasons change. But obviously, we want to be sensitive when we are in those spring times. There's a verse in Proverbs 25:20 that says, "Like one who takes away a garment in cold weather, and like vinegar on soda, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart." So obviously, we want to be sensitive. We want to weep with those who weep. But ladies, enjoy the seasons of spring in your life. And I think the other reason, and this is peculiar too, I get this a lot, is when you ask someone how they're doing and they're doing great, they'll follow it up by being afraid. Like, okay, well, everything's good, so that must mean something bad's just about to happen. And I'm like, that's kind of twisted, you know? What's God? God's going to do something horrible because, you know, I'm doing great, you know? And I don't know where we get that sense, you know? And so we need to not be afraid. We need to just enjoy those spring seasons. Enjoy the extended times of stillness and solitude and peace of heart. In Psalm 23, it says that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And that word makes, he makes me lie down, it doesn't mean he forces me down, you know. Lay down. That's not at all the picture. The picture is that he makes a way for us to lie down. With shepherds and their sheep, it was important to, you couldn't get a sheep to lie down unless the environment was right. They had to feel safe. They had to be free from fear. They had to be well fed. And that's a lot of times, that's why the Lord gives us those seasons of spring. And then he makes us to lie down. He makes a way for that to happen in our lives. He creates an atmosphere for that to take place. You know, his concern for our care is beyond our comprehension. So enjoy it. Be thankful in it. I had one of these moments, and you know, sometimes they are rare, with three kids in the house and a busy life. And it was just last month. Somehow, some way, we all ended up being in our house on the same night. Slowly, everyone filtered to the den. And there's not as much room in the den. Amy was on the computer, and someone was in a chair. And pretty soon, some of us were just on the floor, and we just were enjoying one another and talking and laughing. And believe me, as a mom, I was noticing that moment, and I was so rejoicing in it. And then slowly, one person, I think Rob got up to do something, and then Aaron goes over to the piano, and he starts playing. And so I'm like, I'm going to take advantage of this moment. So I grab my guitar, and then my other daughter, she sings, and pretty soon we're just worshiping. That has never happened before, you know, in our house, but it was such a pleasant spring moment for me that I will cherish forever. So be thankful and enjoy those moments. Another evidence of spring is newness. Newness. New flowers, new sounds, new activity, new life. And the seasons of soul, the spring seasons of soul, often come through joyous circumstances. Sharon talked about this. Maybe it's when you're newly married or the birth of a child. I know for us, we had Aaron and Amy. They were 19 months apart. We're getting through that. Things were starting to get easier. And my husband's like, oh, we're done. That's it. Well, along came surprise package Amanda. And there was a 5-year gap, you know. And he had to get over the shock. But you know what? She's our sunshine. She brought so much joy into our lives. So thankful for that. How about new friendships? Don't you know, love a friendship that just brings life, laughter, and joy into your life? A new ministry opportunity. A lot of times that brings about a spring season. I know a few years ago, I got a new neighbor, and her name's Tina, and she was a new believer. Do you see a theme of newness in this? And for me, it was right in the middle of a dry, hard time in my life. And here she is. She's just perky, and she's like, you know, wanting to get to know me, and, you know, had so many questions. And I just could sense, you know, Lord, your timing is perfect. And so I started discipling her. And once a week, we'd get together at my house and, you know, go over the study. And pretty soon, you know, we're praying outside in the cul-de-sac. And what happened? It wasn't about me at all. But that was God's grace. He brought that friendship into my life to get my eyes off of myself. And pretty soon, it was a spring season. There was new life, new energy, new hope. God is good to do that. So sometimes spring comes through new circumstances, but spring can also come through a new attitude, through a new mindset, through a new heart, even in the midst of the unchanged and difficult circumstances. And you know what? Truly, those are the sweetest springtimes of all. As a young mommy with those two first kids I mentioned, 19 months apart, Aaron and Amy. Aaron, my firstborn, God knew I needed him first. Because if I would have had Amy first, I would have been a very prideful mom. I would have been very judgmental at why can't all you other moms do it right? But I had Aaron first. Now, Aaron, he has an enormous sensitive heart, a passion for God, a very sweet spirit, but he's highly emotional, very strong-willed. And the word for him is drama. It's just drama, drama, drama. And I learned very quickly that I was in over my head. All the expectations I had of being such a godly mother and all, everything I was gonna do right. Yeah. I remember when he was around 7 years old and he was having one of his meltdowns. And I was trying to get him to stop talking, because really that was the biggest problem, is he just had to have the last word. I know you identify, huh? And because I'm the mom, I'm going to have the last word, whatever it takes, right? So he's having this extreme meltdown, and I'm like, Aaron, be quiet. And he's crying, and he's like, but, you know, and I'm like, it got more intense. Zip it, you know? And I just remember this vivid picture. I mean, he's just convulsing. He's crying. He literally takes his little hand and he puts it over his mouth. It was just like this. And then he's like, but I can't, I can't, I can't. As a mom, I went through a very long winter season of parenting that really brought me to my knees. Not because of Aaron, although I tried to blame Aaron. If you hadn't done that, I wouldn't have behaved that way. I wouldn't have said that if you, you know. Yeah. No, it wasn't because of Aaron. It was because my own flesh was exposed. And to my surprise, I lacked self-control. I lacked love. I became quick-tempered, quick with my tongue. I constantly felt like a failure, and I would repent, and I'd go to the Lord, and I would go to Aaron and forgive mommy, and it was just this cycle that I was in, and it was so, so difficult. And it came to a head one night when I literally went up to my bedroom, and I just fell on my face before God, and I was crying and convulsing, and I had my hands over my face, and I was saying, I can't, I can't, I can't. That's all I could get out. I can't. I don't know how long I did it, but I did it. And the Lord patiently waited for me to be quiet. And then he spoke, Denise, you can't. You can't. But I can. I can. I can through you. Are you ready? Are you willing to let me? And that became a journey of discovery in my life of how do you walk in the Spirit? you say that you give us the power of the resurrection? The divine power gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. How do I do this? And that was this first step in a new journey of discovery for me, that I could do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Now, did my circumstances change? No, Aaron was still Aaron. But my attitude changed. I had a new heart, a new direction, new actions. I went to Debbie Bryson, who's going to speak. We've known each other for 20 years. She's a woman in my life that I treasure dearly. I confessed my sin to her, which is important, ladies, for victory. And I said, this is where I'm at. I'm confessing it. And she prayed for me and kept me accountable. And you know what? Eventually, spring came. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. My son is now 19, an amazing young man. We have a wonderful relationship, and it's all just the grace of God. I'm so thankful for him. It is true, God's promise, that he makes everything beautiful in his time, or its time. Now, there are many of you that are in difficult circumstances right now. A lot of you are in winter seasons in a particular area of your life. Many in your marriages. Maybe for some of you, it is in parenting. Whatever it is, know that God is with you in the midst of that pain, and he wants to use it to accomplish a new work. And he can bring spring, and he will bring spring. But we need to surrender. We need to allow him to work in that. Lift up your eyes to heaven. The Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings. Malachi 4:2. Now, we can't talk about spring without mentioning spring cleaning. Some of you are diehard spring cleaners, right? Do I have any of you in the room? Just a few? You don't want to tell. You're the women who neighbors gape out the window at as they see furniture and rugs and household items going out to the front lawn. You're the one whose family washes in horror as you become this living scouring pad. No stone is left unturned or unscrubbed. And the rewards of your labor, almost everything that was once lost is now found. Yeah? You found enough extra change to hold your Starbucks habit for next few months. And once the cleaning frenzy subsides, the family is left with an immaculate house, an exhausted grime warrior, and the threat of death to anyone who ruins it. Well, in the spring times of our soul, there will be spring cleaning, and it needs to take place. And the Lord's going to be turning over stones. He's going to be revealing areas to you. You know, it's interesting that in those times when we really do see God's word so loudly, where we're just really sensing his voice and his presence, the more we see Jesus, the more we see our sin, the more we're aware of how much we need him. And so spring cleaning will take place, and we need to give the Lord room to do that in our lives. To not resist that. Sometimes things are going to need to go. You know, sometimes there is sin. There's a scripture in Psalm 51:2 that says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." So sometimes it's sin, but sometimes it's just uncluttering your life. When I was reading through my journals, I noticed a lot of times, right toward the end of a winter, and right going into spring, the Lord would be telling me, slow down. Oftentimes, he's telling me, I want you to step back in this area of ministry or your schedule or in your children's schedules or whatever. Whatever he was showing me. But usually it was a time that I like to think of as uncluttering, of just simplifying, of focusing on what he wants you doing in that season. And I believe that if you're married or have children, that that is your first ministry, is your husband and your children. And it's easy as women to get so busy with activity. So there might be some uncluttering that needs to take place in that season of your life. It's essential in the springtime, ladies, that we take advantage of the springtime, because not only is it a time of peace in your heart, of refreshment in the spirit, but it is also seed time. Springtime is seed time. So take some of that energy you have that you want to put into house projects and yard work, and put it into digging deep wells in your relationship with the Lord. Ask him to fill you. Sow seeds of God's word into your life that you would bear fruit. That is our purpose, and I believe we all want that. We want to be made beautiful. We want to bear fruit for our families, for our church bodies, and for those that we impact. But we must abide, like Sharon or Karen, one of them already said. That's the key. If we're not abiding, if we're not connected to the vine, we're not able to do that. But don't just sow seeds in your own life. And I think sometimes in spring, when things are going really good, we can get kind of self-focused, you know, and just enjoy that. But we need to sow seeds in other people's gardens. That's so important. The first home that my husband Rob and I bought in Oregon, it was during the fall season. It was this little old yellow house with a lot of character and a big backyard. I mean, just beautiful backyard. But it was big and had a greenhouse, and it had this huge area for a vegetable garden, and I was way naive. I just, you know, I got in way over my head on that one. But one of the fondest memories I have of living there, it was the first spring when it came, because to my surprise and joy, there were hundreds of bulbs that sprung up. And all of a sudden, I'm looking around, and there's just this new beauty. There's new color, and it was just amazing. I was able to reap the benefits of someone else's sowing seeds, planting seeds. And we need to do that in one another's lives. I want to sow seeds in the hearts of my children that will blossom into beauty and fruit for God's glory. And I am really grateful for the women in my life that have planted seeds over the years. Good seeds. There's always a few women that want to plant a bad seed, right? We don't want the bad seeds, but we want the good seeds, the seeds of truth and wisdom and knowledge and hope and love and prayer. They're the ones that make us more beautiful. You know, have you ever gone and bought one of those packages of seeds that actually are the assortment, like the wildflowers? I did that once. It was kind of fun because you don't know what you're going to get. And then when it blooms, it's like, woo, and just all different types and colors. And, you know, in a sense, that's kind of what happens when, you know, we're planting into each other's hearts and lives. And there's this just array of beauty and character that we see in that. And boy, we need to do that. What effect are you having on the lives around you? Are you speaking truth in love? Are you giving godly counsel or the counsel of the word? Are you pointing your friends to Jesus? Are you being there to get them in the word, to encourage them in those times? It's so important that we do that. I want to challenge the older women in this room. Now, when I say older, I think if you're 30 or up, you're older. Okay? Reach out and build relationships with the women around you. Look for opportunities and seize them. I am always blown away by college-age girls that come up to me and ask me to disciple them. I'm thinking, I'm an old lady. Me? You know, we get kind of intimidated by the younger gals. But they want that. They need that. They're looking for that. The young married women, the single women. And so it's a challenge for you. Plant, sow seeds in other women's lives that it would bear fruit for God's glory. Amen? Amen. Remember in 2 Corinthians 7:13, Paul was speaking to the church believers there in Corinth, and he makes a statement there, 2 Corinthians 7:13, where he thanks them for the ministry that they put into Titus. And it's interesting because it says, his spirit has been refreshed by you all. When people are around you, are they refreshed? Especially when you're in your spring season. That should be our goal and desire, that we would take that refreshment that we're in and then pour it out on others. And then, ladies, let's reach beyond our sisters in Christ and our families, but this world is in crisis. We're in decay. There's a lot going on, and you can just feel it. You know, the earth has been shaken. And what an opportunity for us. You know, the soil's getting moved around some, so, you know, the hard soil's breaking up. And what an opportunity for us to sow seeds out there in the world, and those that are lost and they're just hopeless right now and they're fearful. And we have the light, we have the truth, we have the hope. And so look beyond your comfort zone, and I speak to myself too in that. I like my comfort zone. I like the church family. And look for those opportunities when you're out doing other things. And then I just want to leave you with a little warning. Beware of spring break. It's notorious for getting people into trouble, right? College kids and high school kids, it's party time, you know. It's just trouble. And we need to be careful. It's when people start behaving foolishly, kicking back, chilling. Now, there's a principal scene in the Old Testament that I want to leave you with, and we have time, so go ahead and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. It says, verse 1, it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle. You might want to underline that. Spring was a time when kings went out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. He was kicking back, having a little leisure time. And look at verse 2. And then it happened. Those words should just send a chill down you. And then it happened. Trouble came. One evening, David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. And we know the story. He ends up having sex with her. He ends up just devastation followed from his actions. And so there's a word of warning in the springtime, because there is a tendency in our flesh to just want to kick back a little bit, because things are wonderful and great. And we don't naturally really press in those times. And so we need to be cautious and aware, ladies. We have to be alert to the enemy's tactics. And a lot of times that's when he's going to get in your life, when you're least expecting it, when you're least crying out to him. That's when you're vulnerable. So be careful. Springtime is refreshing. It's a time of rest and peace and renewal in the Lord's presence, not away from the Lord's presence. It's not time to take a vacation. We do not want these tragic words at the end of our story. I do not want these tragic words at the end of my story. I want to finish well. I want to finish well. May it never be said of us, You know, oh, so-and-so, she was fruitful, she was victorious, she was conquering. David was amazing for years. And then it happened. May it never be said of us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for times of grace, times of refreshment. And some of us are in those spring seasons, and some of us are not. But Lord, we thank you that your timing is perfect. And Lord, I pray that those who are just longing for it, they have spring fever, they really, really need that and want that, Lord, that you would be gracious. Lord, that you would meet them in powerful ways in your word, and as they just worship you and are at your feet, Lord, that you would speak loudly. And Lord, help us to take advantage of the spring seasons and sow seeds that will bear much fruit. Guard our hearts, Lord. Keep us from the evil one. Lord, we want to finish well. And it's in your power, and it's by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.